There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Friday. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. Sure glad you're here. Phone number, text line 343-0106. We'll talk to you also through the Facebook page, the Twitter feed, even the Instagram page. And talk about that more coming up this hour. But this hour, a conversation I've been wanting to have for a while, since the story came out about maybe a month ago or so about what was going to be green-lighted in the state of Alabama, and that is growing hemp. Now, this is part and parcel to the discussion we had of what came out in the farm bill that gave the go-ahead with some adjustment, but gave the go-ahead for the CBD oils that we've talked about on previous shows that had that 0.03% THC in it or less. Okay, that's part of it. We've discussed hemp and marijuana and the differences between the two. And that's why it was very interesting when the story came out that in the state of Alabama, right here at home, there are, I think, 180 some odd farms or people that are going to try for this year as an experimental program to be growing hemp in the state of Alabama. So when things that are of the ag nature come up, I'm always happy to get on and talk with the man who his job is to know all this and even the new stuff that comes out. Commissioner of Agriculture for the state of Alabama, Rick Pate, joining us again on Midday Mobile. Thanks for being on, Commissioner.
Well, I'm glad to be on. I appreciate you reaching out to me.
You know, in the past, you and I have talked stuff that that people have some knowledge of. We talk cows, we talk chickens, we talk beans, we talk cotton, we talk peanuts, stuff that you know, people are like, okay, I understand how that farming operation works, or how can we do better as a state, what's important to the state. But here you come into office in January and you've got a whole new crop now to start learning about, right? Hemp.
Yeah, industrial hemp, yeah. And so that was something, as you and I were talking about earlier, that really had been put in place by the 2014 Farm Bill. And then, of course, Alabama's legislature in 2016 kind of aligned our laws in Alabama with that Farm Bill in 2014. And so since that's happened, yeah, we've been steady working to get to this point. And, yeah, we're probably a few weeks from people starting to plant industrial hemp.
And I guess we'll go back for a second here and make sure that we're clear on what we're talking about, because at least, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but in my studying, there's a family of plants, cannabis plants, and one side of that is marijuana, but the other side is hemp. Is that right? I mean, they're closely related, but they're not the same thing.
Yeah, that's what I understand. Yeah, certainly not the same thing. Yeah, and they are in the same genus, cannabis. Right.
And so this what we're talking about here, and from on through this discussion, y'all, we're talking about hemp and this industrial hemp. And when you use the term industrial hemp, does that just mean it's going to be used for the market? Or, I mean, why is it? Is there something different between hemp and industrial hemp, or is that just the way it's said?
Well, I think there were some, I think I've heard it called sun hemp. There's some products that didn't produce the CBD oil and that were out there that people have, I've talked to people that they have planted before. But yeah, I think the 2018 Farm Bill actually is going to remove that term industrial from it and just start calling it hemp. And so there's actually some legislation in Montgomery right now to now that the 18 Farm Bill's out there to align Alabama law with it as opposed to the 14 Farm Bill. But yeah, I think there is other hemp.
I remember, yeah, I remember like a few years ago, maybe more than that, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, it was the big thing one year that folks were going to plant that on their properties for deer, for a, like a summer crop or something to help boost protein and all that stuff for the deer. I remember it discussed back then, and I guess that was, I think that was called sun hemp, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I'm not, certainly not authority on that, but yeah, I think you're right what you're saying.
All right, so let's talk about now with the alignment to the Farm Bill and what has happened here with the new Farm Bill. You have 180, farmers or farms or operations in the state that, like you said, are here this month, I guess, fixing to plant some hemp in Alabama.
Well, and it's, yeah, so the application process really widened for us to reject anybody, but yeah, we didn't want somebody planting industrial hemp in their backyard and garden, and so it was just to make sure you had people that were serious. Most of them are farmers, some of them are, you know, really large farmers, and but there's also some investor groups involved and some people you know, that are well funded behind this thing. And so of course, you have the one hand, you've got the growers, and then there was another application process to be a processor. And so, obviously, you can process the fiber. It's got multiple uses, I've been told. And then, like you said, the CDB oil.
Yeah, I want to get to the processors here in a second, but we'll kind of go through these 180 farmers. So you said different, some big farmers, maybe some not as big. Where did they, I mean, did they come to you, and do you talk to them at all before they got their applications in, or you just get it come across your desk and there's 180 permits and they're off to the races?
No, it wasn't, definitely wasn't quite that simple. Now, and I should say, some of them are big farmers, and I meant to say earlier, there are also the option of people growing it in greenhouses, and so you're going to have some of that. People are going to grow the plants in greenhouses, some that are going to grow plugs and then sell those plugs, which they could sell them, you know, inside, or, well, they wouldn't be able to sell them to anybody except those 180 inside Alabama, but they potentially could sell them outside the state. And yeah, actually it was a pretty detailed application, and it required them to show they had some knowledge of plants and growing and what physical facilities they had, what acres they had, and of course they had to give us their, you know, we'll have to have the longitude, latitude for exactly where the fields will be, and, you know, if they weren't going to be contiguous fields, there had to be separate applications, and so you know, we ask them questions like, because we're not telling them what varieties of seeds to purchase, we're not telling them where to purchase, and so we wanted to see that they had a little grasp of, we'd ask questions about where they were going to do those things, and that they had some clue about what they were getting into, but we did, after it was all said and done. I think there was a $100 fee associated with that, and our staff spent just countless days and weeks pored over those things and looking at them, and the decision was made really by me that we were just going to go on and approve them all. I mean, it's not, you know, I mean, we want this to be a success and hope that, you know, it'll be a helped rural Alabama and Alabama farmers, maybe provide a additional cash crop. But we spent a lot of time making sure that people understood we weren't guaranteeing anything. We're not guaranteeing we don't know if they'll have any difficulty shipping it out of state. We don't, even across county lines. There's a lot of, you know, unknown about it, because every state, you know, we're not first. Obviously, Kentucky and a few other states got ahead of us on industrial hemp, but there's several states that are way behind us. Some, mm-hmm. Louisiana, I don't think Mississippi has, their legislature hadn't necessarily passed the laws that has changed their past laws to where it's going to allow it. So we just caution people to make sure you let authorities know if moving it around, make sure you've got our permit with you anytime you're moving it off the farm,
because it could look to a person, law enforcement or anybody else, it could look like marijuana, right? I mean, that's what we're getting at.
Well, and that's we met with the people in public health. We met with Al Taylor and the Aaliyah people, right? This concern, you know, because obviously they fly over looking for that for marijuana, and so we met with them. That's the reason it's so important that we have the longitudes and latitudes, and so that normally when they're doing a flyover, they'll have vehicles on the ground too, kind of searching out what they're seeing, and so that we've coordinated with Aaliyah so that they'll have that information they can pull up and say, hey, this is supposed to be a hemp site. And of course, ours are going to be, you know, if somebody was illegally growing marijuana, it's probably going to be kind of hidden and not a lot of roads into it. Ours are going to be in, you know, we would anticipate in pastures or open fields with good infrastructure to it. So
I've got some questions about that. We come back from this news break. I want to ask about the kind of the ag side of this, and then kind of so many questions. I mean, talking about where do people get their seeds in the first place to plant this hemp and all that. We'll come right back. We're talking about this is industrial hemp. This is hemp. This is green-lighted now for the state of Alabama. 180 farmers right now approved in this test year. We'll talk more with Rick Pate, Commissioner of Agriculture, about that when we return.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:20, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Friday. I'm glad you're along and good to talk to Commissioner of Agriculture for the state of Alabama, Rick Pate, and hopefully we get a lot of more conversations with him in studio, too, going forward. And often, Rick, in the past, we've talked about things. We talk about the chickens, you know, and what that means for the state of Alabama. And or we'll talk about the cattle industry, or we'll talk about, you know, row crops or those things. But now we're talking about hemp, and that is something pretty new to maybe exactly completely new to the state of Alabama, at least legally, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And the key here is to realize this 2019 is a pilot program, and so we're learning along with the growers, and what we hope to be able to do is to compile a lot of information so next year we can really start to tell people, this is what we saw last year, this is what worked in South Alabama and Mobile County, this is what worked in Limestone County, and we expect there to be pretty big differences, which variety and some cultural practices might be different in different parts of the state.
Yeah, you and I were talking about that during the news break, just coming from, you know, looking at whatever. I mean, if we're, whether we're growing pasture grass or we're growing cotton or peanuts or beans or what, I mean, different parts of the state, yeah, different varieties work better. There's different soils, you know. I mean, you'll look at a piece of ground and say, oh, that's bean ground or that's cotton ground. Or do we know what hemp ground looks like?
Well, I don't. And so we kind of got a little information from Kentucky. And, of course, where Kentucky really moved forward with it, because they were trying to transition from the tobacco. And so a lot of the facilities, I think, for dealing with the fiber must be very similar to the facilities they use for handling tobacco. And so we would anticipate that similar soil types and things will do well here in Alabama, but... Yeah, but like you said, with the amendments and liming and fertilization, you know, we might could take most of the soils with the right varietal of hemp to be successful.
And this is truly new ground for a lot of folks here trying to figure it out, and I guess that's why it's good you have those 180 farmers in this year. Are they spread out throughout the state? Are they clumped up in one area more than another? What do you know?
Well, I hadn't seen a map of the whole 180. When we first went through the application process, they were going to only approve about 52% of them. But I looked at a map where they were plotted out, and it was a pretty good geographical distribution. You couldn't really see any area of the state that maybe some of it, like Jefferson County, if I remember right, didn't. Obviously, there's not as much farmland that. And I don't remember there being any approved, but we ended up just made a decision here that to just approve them all. And so that map changed, but I would assume, yeah, it's pretty widespread, pretty even.
All right. So the second part of this, and you were talking about it at the beginning of the first segment, is there's 180 folks that are testing out, growing it, and seeing how that does. But you said the second part of it is the process, and right, the people, I guess, they buy it and turn it into those industrial products.
Right. Well, then let me back up on that 180 just a minute. So 180 got approved. The seeds are pretty expensive, and so, I mean, this is just me. My experience would be they'll have to send us $1,000 because we'll spend that $1,000 certainly sending people out to the field, checking their hemp, and we'll test a lot of it. And so I don't know, you know, my anticipation would be would three-fourths of those that were approved end up paying their $1,000 and actually doing it. So the number, okay, the number of applications we've received is 180 that we approved. We'll see how many actually plan it, but we know it's well over 100 that have paid their $1,000.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Okay, so that $1,000, yeah, and that's worth going back to. You said so the farmers going to purchase the hemp seed, costs about $1,000, so they pay. Hey, you, they don't go to a third party? Do they come to Department of Agriculture? How does it work?
I'm confused. So, actually, they'll pay to the Department of Agriculture that really paid for us to send people out to the farm, but they'll be responsible for purchasing their own seed. That does not include them purchasing the seed. So they'll have to, whatever other expenses are associated with planting the crop, they'll be responsible for, but they'll actually have to get the permit from us, or the license, I guess is actually the correct term, they'll have to pay us that $1,000, and then that'll give us some resources to us to go out and collect it. And of course, we're hoping to collect a lot of data. I think, you know, I talked about it. It's called a pilot program. We're trying to figure a lot out, and hopefully next year it won't be such a pig in a poke kind of deal where we're real cautious about giving people any advice. We're not telling them there's much. You know, they're sort of online because there's a ton of information on the internet and out there. There's other states that are ahead of us. So,
well, heck, we were growing this stuff in the colonial times, right? I mean, hemp was so there has been hemp grown here in this country a long time. It hadn't been recent, but there's some history.
I think up to the 30s when it was actually some period of time like that. But, yeah, I think the fiber had been used in cars back in some of the first Fords had some derivative of the industrial hemp fiber in cars. So, yeah, it's been used for other products.
What about when you talked about the number that people that now paid the $1,000, but if you look at it, are they limited to a certain amount of seed to plant, a certain amount of acreage? Is that tied together with this permit, this license that says, okay, well, you can do 10 acres or y'all can do 40 acres, or how's that work?
Well, they did have to say that on the application, but no, they're not limited. There was no bill. We did discourage, and I don't know that we approved anybody that was growing outside less than a 5-acre plot. So, there was some we didn't want. You know, like I think I said earlier, people that planting it by the side of their garden a little plot. So, but I think the minimum was 5 acres. I don't think there's any limit, but the limit's going to be the seeds are very expensive, and with it being a new crop, I would think people would go slowly.
Sure. You say expensive. Give us an idea. Is this higher than a bag of Roundup Ready corn, or what are we looking at?
I don't know that, but I think so. Yeah, I talked to one guy, I didn't talk to him, text back and forth. So a guy texted me, asked if he could reduce his acres. Would that get him in trouble with the program? The figure he was saying, the cost of the seeds per acre was, were thousands of dollars.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, I couldn't answer his question. I sent him, we've got some people here that if somebody really wants to get in depth on it, Crystal Stewart would be one person to talk to, or Hassie Brooks are our two people I've sort of assigned to be the gurus of industrial hemp. I'm certainly not. I know enough about it to talk about it.
What about the other side? We were just beginning to talk about those people, the processors. They had to get licenses too, right?
Right, absolutely. And it's a combination of some people that are growing are also wanting to process.
Right.
And so some people that are wanting to process want processed fiber. Some are wanting to process, I guess it's the flour for the CDB oil. Some are wanting to process both and not grow. So, you know, I couldn't tell you how the process worked. I mean, I've heard several uses of the fiber. But, I mean, I've talked to some people. You know, there's really three stages to it. Somebody's got to grow it, and then somebody's got to process it, and then somebody's got to buy it. And so, you know, and so we got out. And so we've been told there's all these potential markets out there for the fiber.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, you know, we still got to get to that next point. So if it says, okay, yeah, I want to buy it and put it in a car or use it in. And then the same way on the oil, you know, I've heard just all kind of outlandish claims that have been made about what the oil's good for. And I've heard, you know, all these anecdotal, you know, my grandmother puts it on me and it
right.
makes you feel better. And so, you know, but there's very little science behind any of that. And that's the reason public health was here meeting with us, because, yeah, you're starting to see it show up in gummy bears and convenience stores and, you know, there's just a concern. There's no science behind it.
But y'all are doing that now. But y'all not studying that part, but y'all are studying the growing of this industrial hemp. I mean, that's what this year, right? This is the pilot program. And so maybe if it does work, do you think there'll be a process next year for people to apply to get a license?
Oh, absolutely. It'll be much more open next year, and we'll have a lot more information to share with people. The whole point of this pilot program this year.
Well, this is good. Once again, if people want more information, you said you had the gurus there on staff. Do they? What number do they call? Where do they check in?
Call 334-240-7100, and that'll get you into our main office here. Again, ask for Crystal Stewart or Hassie Brooks, and you know we'll be glad to tell you what we know about it, but we couch everything in. We're not giving people legal advice, you know, but...
Well, we appreciate it. I'm going to have to talk to you about this again, you know, at the end of the summer and see how it went. Commissioner of Agriculture, Rick Pate, thank you for your time. Thanks for being on with us.
Appreciate it, Sean. Enjoyed it.
All right. We'll be talking to you again soon. We'll talk to you about this next at 343-0106. This is Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1234 FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile on this Friday. Hey, another great event. This one tonight, Cottage Hill Package, their cigar event with My Father Cigars. They'll be at Cottage Hill Package tonight starting at 6. You know, they do these events where they have craft beer tastings, wine tastings. Tonight, a cigar event, and a representative from My Father Cigars will be there starting at 6, and the Manis family providing the food. And let me tell you, if you're a fan of Cuban food and cooking, Ray is fantastic. And also, they'll have some mojitos to go with it. It's going on tonight starting at 6. Here's the deal. Here's some of the deals. You'll buy 3 cigars, you get one free. By any 20 cigars, get 4 free, plus you'll get a cutter and a My Father t-shirt at a 10% discount, and then enjoy that Cuban mojito, and check out everything from My Father Cigars. They'll be there tonight from 6 to 9, but you can go early, you can go late, and check out what's going on up front at Cottage Hill Package. Huge humidor, the big selection of craft beers, wine, and spirits. But yeah, at 6 o'clock, it's in the lounge in the back. It's really kind of a fun place to go and hang out and catch some dinner and check out those cigars. That's happening tonight. The My Father Cigar event starts at 6 at Cottage Hill Package, corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. You can check them out online, cottagehillpackage.com, or make sure to like them on Facebook, Cottage Hill Package. All right, can we get the theme music for the traffic update? No, not Kane's. No, not the other one. Okay, here, fire it up.
He's bound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they
say? No, this has nothing to do with industrial hemp. Now, this comes from the text line here. All right. Thank you, Todd. Todd has just texted in and said... The Trump wall. Remember we talked about the Trump wall on wheels the other day? The Trump wall is broken down on I-10 at exit 25. So exit 25, that's Virginia, I think. That's Virginia Street exit there, which is usually where the traffic all backs up for the tunnel. But the Trump, can we get some photographs of this? If y'all are out there, if you get the photograph, you want to text it in to 343-0106, 343-0106. I don't know what has happened. The Trump wall broken down on I-10 eastbound at the Virginia Street exit. Todd also points out that it's way off far to the right where it's broken. Yeah, I get it. So, if you have pictures of the broken down Trump wall, we'll negotiate for something. We have some kind of giveaway for you. Right now, I guess in traffic, I don't know if it's caused. Todd, is it causing traffic delays out there? I mean, if people rubberneck for any accident that goes on I-10 or I-65, wouldn't a broken down mobile Trump wall? Because so, at least that's what we're getting at this point. So, right there at Virginia Street. Traffic trouble because, or possible traffic trouble because of the broken down Trump wall. All right, so no traffic issues yet, right? Okay, if you go by there, you get a chance to safely, like, stop your vehicle, or if you're walking down the interstate, which is against the law, if you could at that point take a picture of the broken down Trump wall and text it in to 343-0106. Yes, and thank you. Several of the texts came in here. Y'all, I don't know what it is. Eric's was the first one in here. I don't know what it is, and I'm not. If you expect me to correct every elected official in the state of Alabama or every politician who can't say CBD and who says CDB, I can't. I would have no time for the rest of the show. Pick somebody. Pick wherever they are. The Attorney General has said it. Members of the Senate, members of the House of Representatives have said it. The Ag Commissioner has said it. Hopefully Charlie Daniels can get some residuals on this, because the CBD is most often referred to as CDB oil, which to me, I think they're always talking about the Charlie Daniels band. All right. Good. John, who I know is in the world of Ag, sent me this on the text line. Because I was asking about the cost of that industrial hemp with the Ag Commissioner. John says it looks to be about $5,000 to $10,000 an acre in input cost to grow hemp. This is dependent on cultural practice like container grown versus field grown. Okay, so John, what are y'all doing? Are you going to do containers, or are you going to break some dirt up? Seed is around $2 a seed, and a plant will cost $4 to $6 a plant. So, $2 a seed. Even the highest modified Monsanto special is not $2 a seed. Wow. How many seeds per acre, John? Can you help me with that? So $2 a seed, $4 to $6 a plant in this hemp. And here's the deal: 180 people applied. You heard the Ag Commissioner say he's not sure how many. He thought maybe 70 or so of those have sent in the additional $1,000 to move ahead with this program, and we'll get results. Are going to go out there. They're getting the lat long number one, I'm sure, to, like he said, so the people doing the drug flyovers, the grow facility flyovers, know that, okay, this is hemp and not marijuana. Although I know the idea, I mean, y'all have texted, believe me, this idea, I'm sure they're aware that people will try to do both. And maybe the fact that they will be checked and sampled will keep them from doing it. Travis wonders what happens when they fly over a field of sun hemp being grown for a summer deer plot. I don't know. I don't know how they do that. Also, the processing facilities. This will be, listen, if this CBD, or as many call it, the CDB oil, if this becomes a thing, if this becomes bigger in our area, and even if it turns into using it as a fiber somehow that people want to use in ropes or cardboard box-like stuff, those kind of things, if that does become a bigger market, I think the state in this case, at least we're not at the very back of the line trying to figure out if it works here or not. So if the state wants to research this and give people the ability, farmers, to risk capital here and grow it to see if it works, I don't see where the harm is in that. I don't, you know, although now that with this back from John, I do see the harm. He said, remember he told us the plants could be between $4 and $6. The seeds are $2. Plant populations are 2,000 to 2,500 an acre. This is not a cheap endeavor to get into. But if the state of Alabama shows that we have ground that's good for growing this hemp, and that we can have our own processing facilities here, it's more jobs. It's a good thing. All right, so it's going to be a thing that everybody talks about next year. Remember, we talked about it this year, and we'll see. If you could get into that business, I think everybody thinks it's going to be a panacea, that it's going to be nothing but easy times there. But, you know, there are other states doing it. There'll be competition. It's going to be only the people who have figured it out and can run the most efficient operation that get it done. All right. Also on our list today, and I want to get into this more. I know next week I'm going to have a conversation with Arthur Orr. Senator Arthur Orr is going to join us to talk more about the bill that didn't make it out of committee in the Senate to get the state of Alabama out of the booze business. We are going to talk about that. He got back in touch with us, and we'll talk to him the first part of next week. But the other thing that has people talking from yesterday in Montgomery, and it's called the Road Rage Bill. Okay, and can I just run through this real fast? First of all, the naming of it bothers me because it takes something that is actually a law in the state, right? It's already, you're supposed to get over after you pass somebody. You know, you're on the four-lane road. You pass on the left, you get back in the right. Okay, but it makes it, the spirit of the law is to get the representative from North Alabama some attention, okay? Let's say what it is. That's what the purpose of the law is. And but the fact that they call it the Road Rage Act, and people are all fired up about that in a good way, I don't get it. It's dubbed the Anti-Road Rage Act, this House bill. It's brought by Representative Philip Pettis, former state trooper, and would make it illegal for drivers to drive more than 1.5 miles in the left lane without passing someone on the right. Like so many times, I got to tell you ahead of time, the spirit of the law, what he's talking about here, I agree with. Methodology, really? Okay. First of all, calling it the Anti-Road Rage Act, you're saying the only reason people should not drive in the left lane is that other people will have a reaction, a violent reaction to them doing it. That's the motivation? Seems a little backwards. And then on top of that, it's 1.5 miles. You know how I get obsessed with, and I understand, as humankind, we do this, but the arbitrary numbers we assess, right? Speed limit is 55, it's not 54, it's not 56. The legal limit of, whatever, alcohol is this, it's not that. Okay. You're saying here that the drivers go more than 1.5 miles in the left lane without passing someone on the right, that is when they're going to be in violation. Now, a couple things. Number one, a lot of the zombie drivers that are in the left, I'm not talking about the jerks, but the zombie, because jerks, I got some stuff for you, but there's jerks and there's zombies, right? So the zombie drivers in the left lane, do you think they're monitoring if they've been a half mile, three quarters of a mile and a half? They've had their blinker on for 64 miles, and you think that they're going to be clocking whether they've been sitting in the left lane without passing someone on the right for 1.5 miles? First thing. Second of all, so law enforcement, if this bill goes through, and I know a lot of folks in law enforcement here, y'all help me out. Y'all help me out on this. Members of law enforcement, is it the highest and best use of your time to fall in behind the zombie driver or the jerk and look at your odometer and then watch it go to 1.5 miles and then put on the blue lights? Is that the... Once again, I want the people out of the left lane. I'm with you. But this is like... It happens every session. In Montgomery, you make up this law. We're going to deal with this. But it's like nobody's thought about what the other consequences are of this. I mean, once again, just know what it is, and there'll be obviously we're talking about it. A lot of TV stations are talking about this law, but this is something that kind of already exists. This is not the highest and best use, I think, of law enforcement. I think the highest and best use of this would be the Mr. Pettis, Representative Pettis, who's getting attention for that bill. That's just my take on it. All right, grab some text here, and we can get some calls. A text from there you go, Rita. I like how you think. Rita's a thinker. Says, hey, Sean. Hemp jobs in the future could be good jobs for displaced ABC workers. That's right. You know, they opposed getting the state out of the business of selling booze. Some of the groups there, like the Alabama Employees Union and all that, were there saying, hey, we'll lose jobs for Alabamians if you get the state out of the booze business. Well, maybe, Rita, you didn't think about this. The state will probably start replacing ABC stores with the HBC stores, right? Or hemp control stores, something like that. Think about if Alabama, which will be the last state to ever legalize marijuana, gets in it. The state of Alabama would probably have a retail facility to sell it. All right, it's some more questions here on this Arthur Orr bill. We'll talk about those as well. Plus, South Sounds Music Festival cranks up today. Talk more about that coming up.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, pretty decent news about the rain over the weekend. I mean, still coming. Nothing there has changed. But Dr. Bill says the bulk of that heavier rain and the severe weather will be overnight in the wee hours of Saturday night into Sunday morning. So it looks like during the day tomorrow and Sunday, better chance of getting out and doing stuff. And we're going to talk about some of these things going on this weekend in Mobile and Baldwin counties in just a little bit. Also, let's talk about what's happening right there at Mobile Bay Coins when we check in with Angelo. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going today?
Going good. Thanks, man. Pointing out that come next week, it's tax man time.
Yeah, that deadline is definitely upon us now. And for people like me that wait till the absolute last minute, it's time to start sweating a little bit. I wanted to remind people, though, if you are looking at that going, man, I'm going to owe and I've got to get some money together, don't forget that at Mobile Bay Coins, we buy gold and silver bullion, we buy sterling silver jewelry, we buy gold jewelry, sterling flatware, you name it. And a lot of those items right now, we're paying really close to spot and in some instances even over spot because we need those products in stock.
Okay, so somebody's got that thing that's just laying around collecting dust, could be putting money in their pocket.
Well, it certainly could, and it's one of those times where rather than pay, penalties and fees and things like that, just go ahead and sell a little bit of gold, a little bit of silver, stuff like you said, it's been lingering around, not doing anything for you. Pay off those tax bills or pay off whatever it is that's overwhelming you right now and move on with a clean slate.
All right, give folks a direction to come out and see you.
Yeah, we're in Midtown. The address is 2204 Government Street. You can also check out the new website, mobilebaycoins.com, and you can actually set up an appointment there.
All right, Angelo, we'll check back with you next week.
Have a great weekend, sir.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins. I'll talk to you at 343-0106 and also on the text line here. So Mike says, getting the state out of the retail business and not the wholesale part, too, is not going to change anything as far as competition and pricing between brands. The state will still set the prices. Okay, so let's talk about this, Mike, and I know, Lord knows, you are way higher up the scale of understanding this than I am, but correct me if I'm wrong. That yes, and this has been the argument, a couple years ago when they came out against Arthur Orr's bill and said it would lead to kids drunk in the streets and, just mayhem, picture like the people in a Godzilla movie running. That would be happening in every street in every city in Alabama. And, of course, like I said, that was made up out of whole cloth because no proposal yet, including SB 77 this year, has taken ABC out of the enforcement of laws. It's also kept them in the excise portion of collecting the duties on this on the liquor coming in the state. Okay, so Mike, I think what this gets down to is what you say. Should the number one, there's a pragmatic and there's an idealistic argument here. Idealistic argument is, should the state be in the business of selling booze? Should they be, even if it doesn't change anything, should they be another storefront out there competing against private enterprise? Is that the job of a state? When you say, okay, what is the job of government? What should government do? Is selling booze what government should do? On the pragmatic side, I would argue that there are 600 and something people that work with ABC. I said it yesterday. I said it this morning as well. They're probably, I'm not going to try to demagogue them and impugn them. They're probably great folks. I mean, they're probably good people. I don't, it's not like, oh, they're bad. But they are state employees that are looking at a state pension for retirement, right? The retirement bubble's coming. I think we've seen that before. We've seen it over the last 10 years. Should the state be in the business of having this retirement system and all this for a part of government that doesn't seem to be the core job of government? So even if, let's say the price has stayed high, even if it doesn't change, even if the price doesn't change a nickel on the private side. But number one, you get more volume because you got the state out of the business of selling it. Number two, you start paring down, and Arthur Orr's bill did it from now through 2024 to slowly find people other positions with the state or give them severance packages to get out of the retail side of it. And also on the retail side of it, it takes away another way, let's say, leverage can come to Montgomery. Point out over time that part of what set up ABC says the ABC stores in the state of Alabama cannot own the property they operate out of. Even though the state of Alabama owns property for multiple reasons, seized for taxes, the state acquired it, they can't put the facilities there. By the law, they have to rent space. Well, don't you think that if you're somebody who can build out facilities that are perfect for ABC stores, you have a little bit of a reason to keep certain protocols in place in the state of Alabama? These are just questions. So, I mean, Mike, I'm with you, and I know you know this business inside and out, but I would say there's a idealistic side, which I can sit and, you know, cry from my soapbox on and say, is it the job of government to be selling liquor? And we're talking about Alabama. We're always trying to get right-sized government. We're paring it down, paring it back, and all that. Well, wouldn't that start with the place selling booze? And then number two, on the pragmatic side, you could put those more people that are right now state employees that are part of what costs the general fund money, right? And costs, because you'll say, no, that's the retirement systems. Oh, wait. But the retirement systems get backed up by we the taxpayers. So it gets people out of the taxpayer, out of the retirement system for Alabama before 10 years, 20 years come, and another bubble hits our state. So, and I guess if it would have been fairly debated on the floor of the Senate and then onto the House, I would still have my opinions, but I wouldn't be crowing about this. My problem has been, from the word go yesterday when this came out, is that the bill didn't even make it out of committee. A bill that would ask the question, let the other members of the legislature vote on whether the state should be in the business of running these ABC stores, didn't even make it out of committee. And that committee, like we talked about the other day, was the, and I don't have it in front of me, but it's like the Fiscal Responsibility and Economic Development Committee or something to that effect. I mean, how laughable, that's the committee that you can't get a bill like that out of. But Lord knows there's been no problem, a lot of traction on the anti-road rage bill, because let's make sure that law enforcement needs to sit behind zombie driver for 1.5 miles to see if they continue to be zombie drivers. Believe me, a lot of more text on this coming in. We're going to deal with this coming up next week. Senator Arthur Orr and I are going to talk. That'll be Monday or Tuesday on the show. Probably Monday. We'll give you an update on Monday morning about that. Coming right back, we'll talk about one of the great events happening in our area this weekend, the South Sounds Music Festival, plus 6.5 stories with Dalton Orwig, all straight ahead.